Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, good. So today's message will be gifts of the Spirit. It will be a little different take on it than you've probably seen before. However, in honor of Mother's Day, I'd like to do a very short message for Mother's Day. We'll call it a Mother's Day moment. And it, too, is a little different take. I think you'll enjoy it, or at least I know I do. So for that, if you turn to John 19, 26 through 27, and while you're turning there, I'll kind of set the scene for that. As Christ was on the cross, bearing our sin, and this was very close to the time of his passing, as he had gone through all of the physical torment that we know that he went through before the cross and on the cross, let alone even more so the spiritual aspect of that he was going through at that time. Before he gave up his spirit, he thought of his mother. And that's what this passage tells us. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing by, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her into his home. So he was, as you can see, concerned with his mother and committed the care of his mother to John, even though he doesn't name himself, we know who that is. So even with all that, Jesus thought of his mother. And that is how he looks at each one of you mothers as well. So just a little bit of Mother's Day encouragement there, that Christ has that covered as well. Okay, as I promised, that was a moment, a Mother's Day moment. So we'll move on to the gifts of the Spirit. The purpose of the gifts of the Spirit is to build up, encourage, and comfort the body of Christ and to give glory to God. It is generally acknowledged that Paul and Peter as well did not list all of the gifts of the Spirit, and that there are as many gifts as there are needs in the body of Christ. Today we'll look at all of the gifts of God with an emphasis on the gifts of the Spirit. It is in a purposeful manner that we won't attempt to divide them out into physical or spiritual, but rather to see that all that God gives us should be considered a gift that can be used to glorify him and build up the body of Christ. We receive many gifts from God, starting with the air that we breathe, our very life, water, food, clothes. God does deal in the physical world, and stuff is not necessarily bad. God chooses to bless us through physical and spiritual means. The first spiritual gift from God, of course, is Jesus, and of course salvation with that, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, and we could argue that the Holy Spirit leads us to Christ, you know, but the Bible, gifts of the Spirit, and the fruit of the Spirit. God loves to give us gifts simply because he loves us. This one you don't have to turn to. You all know it. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have an everlasting life. So there is the gift in Christ of salvation and everlasting life. When we receive something of value that we didn't pay for, it is considered a gift. Even the IRS believes that to be true. Another scripture you probably need not turn to, Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that comes in grace, which we know is unmerited favor. And that's really at the heart of this message today, is God's grace. And we'll tie all that together. If you would turn to Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. For by grace, which is that unmerited favor, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And of course, those works are not for salvation, but to spread the grace of God after salvation. And there again, that gift of grace. Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So there is the gift of the Holy Spirit, another gift from God. We can see that he loves to give us gifts, and those gifts come by his grace. And these next two scriptures are really the kind of the core of this message. If you would turn to Psalm 68, and that's 18 through 19. You have ascended on high. You have led captivity captive. You have received gifts among men, even from the rebellious, that the Lord God might dwell there. Blessed be the Lord, who daily loads us with benefits, the God of our salvation. And now if we turn to Ephesians 4, 7 through 8, we'll do a comparison of those verses once we get through Ephesians. And that says, "But to each one of us grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, he says, when he ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men." And so you, when you look at these verses, you'll notice in Psalm 68, you see that it says, "You have received gifts among men." And then Ephesians 4, 7 through 8 says, "And gave gifts to men." So people who like to try to find error in the Bible say that these two verses contradict each other, which they do not. We know the Bible to be 100% accurate and true. And these verses don't contradict each other, but rather are a differing perspective from two different people in two different time frames. David is looking, his statement is looking forward to the ascension of Christ, seeing the gifts that Jesus will secure, and is a prophetic statement. Paul is looking back and seeing those same gifts that Christ secured and Christ is now giving, prophecy fulfilled. There's a little more to David's statement in its relation to leaving Egypt as well. It's kind of a dual present tense statement, but also a future statement, a prophetic statement. I'm not going to dive into that some other time. But just to set the record straight and show the comparison of the two verses and their perspective there of the... Nonetheless, they both deal with the gifts of Christ. Notice the plural gifts in the verse, or verses rather. So this is not speaking only of the gifts of salvation and eternal life, not only the gift of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit and fruit of the Spirit, but of all the riches in Christ received by grace, whereby he daily loads us with benefits. Jesus received gifts and then he gave them. Here also, hiding in plain sight once again, is that setting of the example for us by Jesus. He isn't asking us to do anything that he has not already set the example for and empowered us to do through the Holy Spirit. We are to receive the gifts by grace and to use them to give out the grace of God to others. That unmerited favor. And in this case, it's totally fine to re-gift. First Peter 4, 10 through 11. And this is where we get into a little bit more of the spiritual gifts. As I mentioned, I don't desire to name them off and list them because there are as many gifts as there is needs in the body. And there is, if you want to study what Scripture says about the gifts, there is, of course, 1 Corinthians 12, 1 Peter 4 is fairly brief, and Romans 12 as well. That gets into the gifts. But again, not all-inclusive lists, but there is some gifts there and a little bit of what is said about that part of it. But our effort today is to look at the grace in the gift. And that is found in all the gifts of God, especially in the gifts of the Spirit. That's actually our opportunity to take that grace in and to spread it to others. And that is actually what this verse very well speaks of, or verses rather, in 1 Peter 4, 10 through 11. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Now, manifold, a good explanation of it is something that an object or a thing that something flows into and flows out of. I was setting up the garden hoses yesterday. And we have this little thing that screws on to the faucet, and out of it comes four valves that you can screw four hoses into. So in comes the water and out to four hoses. That's that spreading of the water, coming in, going out. It can also be collecting, like a... Well, Sean will appreciate this. An intake manifold. You haven't seen one of those in a while, have you? Sean was just talking about taking apart an engine this morning. So he's well aware of intake and exhaust. So the idea there is God's grace flows in to us, and it should flow out of us to our brothers and sisters and to the glory of God. And that is a very special opportunity for us to be able to share God's grace that he's laid upon us. Another thing that I saw in this verse, and is kind of a boilerplate statement, and I don't encourage changing scripture, and that's not actually what I'm doing here. So let me explain. The statement in that verse, if anyone ministers, now what I'm saying here is, if you take the word ministers and leave that blank, fill it in with any one of the gifts that you like. So if you complete that statement with any of the gifts, if anyone, fill in the blank, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies. So do all things with the ability which God supplies. And then also that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory. And again, not trying to change scripture, but it's actually true. If you do anything, it should be done, as that says, to do all things with the ability which God supplies. And he supplies us with the ability to do anything that is within his will. And it also is true that if that's done, all things, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory. And the next verses, which is, if we go to 1 Corinthians 12:7, we will see that God has given to each of us, entrusted to us gifts, abilities, and talents. 12:7 says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. And that is that, that's the spreading of that grace once again. And then down a few verses to 12:11, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Gifts are given by the will of the Spirit and are as unique and individualized as each person he gives them to, yet they profit all, and in all they glorify God. If we go to Romans 12:4-8, for as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function. So there's differing gifts. So we, being many, are one body in Christ and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith, or ministry, let us use it in our ministering, he who teaches in teaching, he who exhorts in exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. So there we see that there's varying gifts in the same body. So I took a moment to think of a few things in this body that we see. Now we have one amongst us who has a sign gift. He changes the sign each week and takes God's grace that comes through him and places a message on the sign out there in front of the church, and that goes out to every person that goes by. And they are, many people are uplifted and encouraged, and I'm sure they pass that on. I know there's many people who makes their day, and they look forward to seeing that message out there. Also, we have one who knits the body together. I watched when we first kind of came back together in January-ish, somewhere in there. I saw Ellie knit a hat for Ann during the service. She knit a whole hat. I don't know how she even did that. That's amazing. But that hat gave Ann so much joy and happiness that day. She was just uplifted and encouraged, which encouraged me when I saw it, encouraged Wendy. And I know I'm sure other people too saw that and were encouraged by it as well. I know she went home and showed it to Paul, and he was uplifted as well. Also, Chuck, he has a grace orchard at his property. He has the love of Christ laying all over the ground out there. And that's actually one of the first memories I have of coming here to Crossroads. We were in the other building, and I don't know if it was the first service we came to, but it was very early on. There was somebody who needed it was either a stove or a refrigerator. Chuck had it. And I'm sure he had more than one. And there again, that grace of God, that love of Christ, just sitting there ready to flow out to the people's lives who that touches. So changing gears a little bit, and I don't want to leave anybody out. I could, any person in here, I've seen give that grace of God that comes into them and flows out through them, and that's how it's done. Very practical, simple, to see that manifold grace of God working in each of our lives. And then we can learn also from interaction between Paul and Timothy. Granted, this was Paul speaking to Timothy. It is an example for us. 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. Now, the example here is not specific to every portion of this scripture. The example here is in Paul speaking to Timothy, is he's reminding him to not neglect the gift that is in you. So, not speaking to the part of the laying on of hands in the eldership, that was very specific to Paul and Timothy, whereas just speaking to that part where, you know, Timothy may have been a little bit discouraged or wrapped up in things to where he wasn't, using the gift as he should have. So Paul, or just a forewarning by Paul, knowing what Timothy would face in his ministry, just to tell him, hey, remember not to neglect the gift that is in you. And 2 Timothy 1:6, again, Paul reminding Timothy. He doesn't say specifically why, but we can understand, I'm sure, that as Timothy was involved in ministry, sometimes it can get a little bit overwhelming, you know. And he's reminding him here in 2 Timothy 1:6, "Therefore I remind you, stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands." Again, putting aside the laying on of hands and just looking at the part where he says to stir up the gift of God, him reminding Timothy. Stirring up the gift would be to fan the flames of it. So to fan the flames of that gift that you have. And Galatians 6:9. And this kind of fits along with that in saying that, "Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart." More important than the kinds and lists of gifts themselves is that we are thankful for them and understand the price that was paid for them by Christ. To acknowledge them as an opportunity to spread the grace and love of God to His glory, to put them to use and be good stewards of them by not neglecting them and fanning the flames, just as Paul encouraged Timothy. And then just to add to that, don't underestimate what you are capable of doing with your God-given gifts of grace, knowing that the Holy Spirit empowers you to use them. And an encouraging verse to go with that is Philippians 4:13. And that says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." And that concludes the message today. I tried to keep it short so we could fellowship with Linda and Jeff. It's good to have them back. Good to see them. And we have a song in closing, I believe.